Welcome to the Redesign Your Mind podcast, where we have real conversations around mental health, self-improvement, and how we can find more meaning in our lives. I'm your host, Stefan Moralia. The podcast is loosely inspired by my book, Redesign Your Mind, Tools and Inspiration for Positive Mental Health, which is available on Amazon, Kindle, iTunes, and Audible. Please refer to the show notes for more information, including a disclaimer and how you can get in contact with me. Thanks for listening. Today on the show, we have Natalie, the Bon Vivant girl. Really looking forward to this chat. Natalie is a psychotherapist and life coach. I've known Nat for a few years now and really love her positive, happy attitude. I'm looking forward to finding out how she maintains that attitude and happy sense of well-being while things in life might not be going as well. So yeah, really excited for the chat and looking forward to seeing what Nat can share with us. Hey Nat, thanks for coming on the show today. Really looking forward to seeing your positive, happy attitude and having a good chat.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here, finally.
Yeah, I know. And for those listening, Nat is in New York and Nat was kind enough to read my book and write a review probably a year or two ago now. And yeah, so it's really good to actually have a good chat and bring you on the blog and the podcast. And really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, before talking about me, I'm obsessed with your book. I think I offered it to so many people. I think it's like beautifully written. It's why I said, let me write the review. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, always like, tried to plug the book in somewhere and you've just done it for me perfectly. So
it's okay. You know, it's like, because, you know, I noticed that people like when we have a bobo, you know, like a pain, we go to the doctor, but when we have a mental issue, somehow we're ashamed of it. And your book shows how to get to there. And it's like, we really need tools like that and books like that to help us. So it's an amazing book. I will tell everyone to buy it.
Thanks so much. And yeah, I really think like in terms of if anyone hasn't read it, it is something that just kind of sets the scene for, you know, what might be wrong in our own lives and why we may have felt these anxieties and depressions and these challenges. But for me, it's something that we can actively work on. There's no reason why we can't work on our own mental health and never give up as well. And that's why another reason why I'm doing the podcast, because, you know, a lot of people need that, I guess, guidance and just knowing that it's okay that a lot of people feel these challenges. So really looking forward to seeing what you've got to say and getting straight into it now, I guess. So you're a psychotherapist and health and life coach. Tell me a bit about what you do with yourself and what led you into this occupation.
Oof.
It's a loaded question.
We have like 5-6 hours. It's like, I did so many things in my life, but I mean, it's true. I'm a psychotherapist. I was a psychotherapist a long time ago. And then when I became a psychotherapist, I actually was too young. So I tried to do every different thing. I was a banker. I was in fashion. I did everything. Then until the day that it was actually before writing my book about weight loss, which was not about a diet, but about a lifestyle. I decided to become a health coach and then a life coach. And so it like really, I took back my origins of psychotherapy and I used it in my life. Yeah. And funnily, actually, even my book, it's like I wrote the book thinking that it was a weight loss book without a diet, but it came out to be a book about living life in its fully potential,
nice.
which I teach my clients today. I practice as a psychotherapist, life and health coach, but I prefer to be a life and health coach because I can interact more and tell them what to do rather than a psychotherapist where I have to just sit and listen, you know?
And I love, so we're digressing as well. And this is what I love about the open theme of the podcast. You said that you were too young when you were a psychotherapist and, you know, so you tried different things. And I think me personally, I can relate to some of the things I did. I mean, we're all still young, but earlier in my life that I thought, wow, I wasn't really ready for that at the time. And I guess what's something you can share with the listeners and viewers about how you felt too young and why that was and what you've learned to, you know, make you stronger now?
I think the experience makes us who we are today. I mean, I used to be a banker, a successful banker, and it was not enough. Like, there was something missing. And I think you were, like, in your book, you talk about, you know, it's why, laughing. Like, I related a lot to you because, like, you have it all, but there's something missing. It's like, you know, and then, like, you kind of go in your self-discovery journey, and then, like, it makes you the person that you are today. And again, it's like age is a number. It's like, it's not about the age. It's like just feeling at the right spot where you should be.
Yes, 100%. And I can totally relate to that as the, you know, when I was a banker, so I think I was 23 and I was doing really well financially. And I remember, you know, one of the guys in the office who'd been a career banker, and I'm sure you've got them over there, but he literally spent like 40 years of his life in the same bank, in the same job. And of course, things evolve over those years. But I just got really anxious that was going to be my life. And I thought, wow, like, I don't want to just be another cog in the wheel in this big chain of the bank.
Wanted
and,
more.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, not to say now I don't work or anything like that. I do still work full time, but it was just a different paths and things that I found a bit more enjoyable. And yes, we all need money, but I don't know, like, it's weird that we felt that same thing. Hey,
I know, but you know, like, I have a lot of clients, it's like who they have it all, you know, they have the money, the partner, this, and they still feel stuck. Like, there's still something that they're not satisfied, fully satisfied. So I think it's like we have to tap into that. You can have millions, it's not going to make you happier. It's like, unless you're happy with yourself. So that's where you have to kind of work on yourself. And
yeah.
That's what you did with your book and what I started to do with my book wasn't about that, but I'm starting to do with my clients and, you know, like, it's really that part that we have to work on in our lives.
Yeah, I love it. And, for myself personally, the last year, like, so many good things have happened and it's been a real challenging time for the world. And I'm really grateful, touch wood, you know, that I've achieved some of those things and, you know, even got a partner. So I've got a girlfriend now and it's like one of those sections in the book. And you talk about this in your coaching that you can't wait to be happy because even like if I said, oh, when I get a girlfriend, I'll be happy. Then you think, okay, now, you know, you want to move in together, then I'll be happy. And then, oh, when we get married, I'll be happy. And then, you know, right now I'm looking at buying a house and it's like, oh, if I buy the house I want, then I'll be happy. You can't do that. You've really got to focus on being happy with what you've got now and being grateful.
Exactly.
And, but for me, and you'd be the same as a banker, you or in your past life, you still have goals and you still work towards those goals, but we just have to be happy with what we've got right now, I guess.
And exactly.
And how do you coach that? How do you do that for your clients then?
So I'm like practicing as a success and happiness coach, but it's like basically as happiness because it's like, it's going to sound very cheesy. I know, like, everything starts, but I know it's like, it, it would have sounded like very cheesy if I heard someone else telling it. But yeah. Let's say you just said, like, you know, like you have a girlfriend, you want to buy a house. The girlfriend can come and go. The money come and go. The only thing that will always stay with you, it's yourself. So if you put, you know, like you depend your happiness on something or someone, it's basically, you don't know if you're going to keep it. But if you keep it with yourself, if you learn how to be happy by yourself and then get all the rest, it's okay. It's like you will be always happy. So to be able to be successful, you have to first start by yourself, loving and accepting yourself and being happy without any condition, you know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be because you managed to buy a house or you managed to find a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It should be because you're happy. When you look at, you wake up like, damn, I'm happy, you know? And like, that's an amazing feeling. And to be able to do that, as you said, you have to definitely be thankful and grateful about what you have in your day, in your life. And it's like, it has nothing to do about having a car, having a house. Mm. It has about your health, anything. During this COVID time, we had like two kind of people. We had people who kept complaining about everything. And we had people who were like, thank God I have a roof over my head. Thank God I have my health. Thank God my family, my parents are still alive and they didn't contact COVID. And, you know, like those people were like happy about what they had. And then they managed to construct and create new things. The other ones like lost their time just about complaining, which is not the wrong thing too, because everybody deals differently with like life issues. But it's like you have like the two parts. But at the end of the day, today, the people who were grateful and who constructed and created are happier than the other ones, because like they keep complaining. Nothing is enough. Nothing is good enough.
And I think it's you know, it's one of those things, like it's okay to complain and get it off your chest, but then, you know, that's where it kind of comes in, that you've got to start cultivating those thoughts and practices you want. It's a, you know, even myself, like my first thought a lot of the time is an anxious or a negative thought that might come in, but you have to rationalize it and then say, right, what does this actually mean? And that's the tricky part, I find. But yeah, that's what, I don't know, what are some ways someone can actively try and cultivate being grateful? And, you know, you said you've got millionaire successful clients. What are some of those tools, I guess, or practices you could tell some young listener out there, or old listener? There's no, you know, like you said, age is just a number, but someone that needs help with this, what's some of those ways they can just cultivate this themselves?
You know, it's interesting because just before COVID, I wrote this like 9 tips to be happy. And it's like, you can find it on my website. I can put it everywhere. But during COVID, it's like, all this is beautiful. You can go and find it on my website. But I think the first rule to be happy is, as we talk, is to be thankful and grateful about what you have.
Yeah.
The second one, actually, it's something that you're going to laugh and you're going to feel very happy. It's like what you taught me. It's like, the words, like in your book, I don't remember exactly the words, but it kind of meant this. It's like, having the power is to know how to let it go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, let it go about like everything that you're holding out, that thinking that you have, like, you know, having all of the above will make you happy.
Yeah.
Just to let it go and just to live the present, it's like very important.
Yeah,
I think that's another part. And then, I mean, again, like I can tell you all my 9 tips, but this is, I think it will have more impact than all my 9 tips that you can find on my website or on the internet. And the last one is like for my clients, for a lot of them who have like all those anger issues or like who feel not good, I ask them to write. Take a piece of paper, write everything that makes you feel unhappy. Write it down, like no filter, like everything, you know, like insulting everything.
Yeah.
And then the following day, read it and just destroy that paper.
Yeah, well.
It's the best therapy that you can do.
That is gold. And yeah, it's just like having to, that, I guess that kind of ties in with what we were saying before, that, you know, with the complaining, that's a way of kind of, you're not complaining, but you're saying it once, you're getting it out there, and then it's done. We're moving forward.
Exactly. But instead of attacking people or, you know, insulting people, like, just put it on the paper. Yeah. I mean, of course, I can tell you, find one thing to do, like one happy thought every day. Like, you can do all of those, but this is like really the base of being
happy. Yeah, nice. No, exactly. I love it. And yeah, even for myself, I think I'm going to try that because
it is.
And you know, like, just like, I'm sure you're the same. Like, we don't, it doesn't mean in our own lives that things are perfect and rosy all the time. Like, that's what I try and tell people, that there's still just as many challenges and things are still just as hard, but it's kind of just, all right, what do you do to now get through these challenges and build that positive mindset?
Exactly.
And that's the difference. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, we cannot change the situation.
Yeah.
There's COVID. I mean, like, either you complain about it or you're happy about it, it's not going to change. Like, COVID is there. So it's your choice either to try to make the best out of it, survive through it, or complain about it.
Yeah.
It's like, really, it's like you have like that power, because what happens? Why we most of the time we complain? Because we don't have power over a situation. Mm. But yes, you cannot have the power over the situation, that, you know, what happens to you, but you have the power on how you react to it. So that's like the most important key to get, like, how are you going to react to the situation? How you can handle it?
Yeah. And I think talking with people, especially a, you know, life coach, or even in the book, I talk about, you know, psychologist or counselor or anything like that. It's just that they're your personal trainer for your mind, and just to get things off the chest and moving forward. So I guess with COVID as well, that's one thing that, you know, was really unexpected. And so in my job now, I'm a financial advisor in my day job. And we helped a lot of people on like a pro bono basis due to COVID. And it was amazing how I saw the differences in people, the ones that came in, like you said, negative and complaining and, you know, really had that negative attitude and that things were against them, compared to those, you know, for example, that said, right, yeah, this sucks, but this is, you know, I've got something on the side that I've always wanted to do. This is now my chance to do it. I've got, you know, 5-6 weeks, and it turned into months to try and build that thing I wanted to do. Or, you know, I've got people that got to spend more time with their families, and people that said, I've literally got friends that I remember before COVID that were really happy, or happy they thought in their job. And now they've said, this is not for me. Like, I'm going back to university, or I'm going to start this business or this job. And it's amazing. You know, it's like that old, I guess, that analogy that out of death comes life and the rebirth. Yeah, and this definitely is that chance to create who you want to be. And it's that positive sense. So I'd like you to touch on that as well, I guess.
Yeah, it's not peachy every day. It's like, I'm sure, like, you too, you have bad days. I have bad days, bad weeks. I mean, like, I'm not saying thank God we had COVID and then like we stayed in, like, so I can create. No, I have bad days, but like the important is, like, I mean, like, we're humans. Everybody is like have bad and good days, but the difference is like how to get over it and how to deal with that situation. How to, you know, switch that bad situation and turn it to positive, or turn it to, let's not say positive, because like maybe everybody cannot do positive, like to normal. And
Or acceptance, even.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. You know, like, and then like we go all in waves. Like it was like at the beginning, it was like, okay, this is new and it was a challenge. And then like we kind of crash. I mean, like personally, I crash at some point. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I have enough of this. And yeah. then I'm like, okay, when I crash, I'm like, what can I do to change it? So I yeah. kind of change for myself. I change my routine because obviously, you know, I mean, like I always work from home with my clients, but I know that for most of people, they will be able, like, because they were in quarantine, they couldn't leave their house. So they will wake up and then go to the living room. And then like, they didn't have that part of like leaving the house and then, you know, going to work and then like socializing with colleagues and then having drinks or so. And it was like so scheduled and so much less commuting, let's say. So I will tell them to change kind of their schedule. It's what I did. It's like, you know, I will have every day, wake up, my calls, this and that. And I started to switch my hours of calls, like off with my clients, or I will switch my hours of my workouts, just like little things to make a little difference that made a lot at the end, basically.
Yeah, we are creatures of habit, and someone like me, like I can relate to that with some of your clients that I just like my routine day in, day out. You know, when I go on holiday or something, it's different. But it really impacted me having that throw out and being such a social person that it was challenging. But you know, we found ways.
We all like, I love my routine too, but I had my routine and then I would have like a friend calling me, let's go out, have drinks or let's go out to dinner. And then like I would, but during COVID, I will have my routine and not the excitement next to it, which was missing. And suddenly the routine became a punishment, basically.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. And I want to go back. You said something about that you were crashing and you had that self-awareness where you said, I know, you know, I think you said I need to crash or I will crash. So you saying that in your life, you know, when you're crashing and, what are some of the things you notice in yourself, when you are crashing and are you saying that it's part of, you will allow the crash and then the rebirth and pick yourself up? Or do you try and stop the crash? How do you go about that? And what are you feeling?
You know what? Crashing is actually amazing because if you don't crash, how you would know what is being high? If you go always like steady, but honestly, it's like, it will be boring. So it's a good thing to crash and then to get the high up. So it's, instead of blocking it, I will live it fully. And I say, okay, I acknowledge the situation. And then like really acknowledge the situation and the crash and how I feel. And then start thinking what I can do to get out of it. So you shouldn't, ignoring it's not going to help you. In life, don't ignore any problem you have. You have to acknowledge it. You know, like, let's say a wild animal. Like, you have to like, learn how to deal with that animal. Your crush, you have to learn how to deal with it and then learn how to do to get out of it.
Yeah. And what I love there is that you accept it. Like I think for myself, one of the things I try and do is, you know, not allow myself to crash. And of course everyone's different, but I love your take that you say, look, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to, you know, take it on, absorb it, understand the reasons why, and then I'm going to pick myself back up. And I think that's a real positive way and a different way to looking at things, because I think a lot of people won't allow themselves to crash and they put all this fear and I myself do it too still that, there's this fear or pressure that I can't allow myself to get to rock bottom.
Exactly. But because you have story and then like you crash and you really burn. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't crash and burn, you wouldn't have your book and we wouldn't be here talking about it.
You're right.
So you know what I mean? It's like, It's like when you crash, even if it's like the lowest point, the only way is up. Yeah. So you've been there. I mean, like, you're one of the people, like, in your book, like, you express it so well. You've been there. And then look, we're having a, like, we're discussing on your podcast. You have your book published. So it's like, it's not that bad. Like, you learn out of it.
Yeah, it's true. It's, yeah, I didn't think of it like that. So, maybe we should allow ourselves to crash and come back, and we'll come back stronger, and we'll come back doing what we want to do. So I love that. I love that. Changing gears a bit now, we talked before the show, and I would never say your age. That's not fair for a lady, but you said
it's
yourself
okay.
That
I'm
you're Gen X
and rocking it.
Yes, you are.
My age, actually.
You are. You said you're Gen X. So, being Gen X and I'm a millennial, and we've now got Gen Z coming through, or Gen Z. You mentioned before the show about the differences between the generational pressures. Can you tell me a bit about that and your own generation and those pressures you see for the Gen Xers and the differences you see for the younger generations?
I mean, we were talking about this because I'm sure, like, all the people from my generation, we grew up with our parents telling us, like, what would others say? You know, we were, like, always scared about this judgmental noises around us, and then we will always do everything the way we should do it because everyone can, you know, judge us. Okay. Your generation, it's like my favorite generation. You guys rock. You don't care. You do whatever you feel liking because just you love it. That's it. Yeah. And then, I mean, like, I think because you're just after the generation X, which is my generation, you're doing it a bit too far in some points, which doesn't disturb me, but it's like, you know, you're pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
The new generation, which is actually my niece, and I see it in her, it's you with softer edges, let's say.
Well, that's good. The improved version.
I mean, like, for example, I've never heard my niece, who's 21, said that someone was fat. Like, she doesn't even care. She doesn't even see the weight on people. Yeah. My generation, we grew up about thinking, oh my God, did you see? She gained 5 pounds. We grew up with that.
Yeah.
And
that's
you
a lot of pressure.
Are like, whatever, you know, it's like, really? And I love this. And I really love this loving and accepting thing, because it will help all of the next generations to be happier with themselves and to not feel judged, because I grew up with that. Mm. And like, my generation really suffers with that.
Mm. Yeah. I really think though, the millennials still do have quite a bit of challenges with that. I guess it's different. So you said that your generation was, you know, what would people say? And
your generation is like to prove yourself. You have
that's the difference.
The millennials is like, you have to really prove yourself that you're worth it. But, and I'm saying this with a lot of love, you're entitled and I love that.
Yeah,
but you have to prove yourself. You have to prove yourself that regardless your shape, sexual preferences, color, shape, you have to prove yourself, but you're not judged as much as we used to be.
Yeah. And that's what's even weirder, isn't it? And like, for me, I really try my best to move away from that, proving myself. Like, I was, you know, as we talk, you've read it in the book, that classic overachiever and always doing well. And I've learned that no one gives a fuck. Like, it's, you know, you could achieve as much as you want. And yeah, mum and dad are happy. But then they'll go into some argument about, you know, what's on TV tonight and who's going to do the dishes anyway. So, you know, we want to make them proud, and we love our family, and we want to do it for them and our friends. But really, like, you just have to do it for yourself, don't you?
Exactly, but I think you have some leftover from my generation in your upgrowing. But I mean, like, even like in my generation, it was like really bad scene to be single. Like, oh my God, like, you know, like the sentence will be like, you're a good looking, you're a beautiful girl, you look smart. Yeah. Like, how come you're single? Yeah. In your generation, I mean, like, I see in the millennials, it's like, who cares? They're, yeah. I mean, they're bisexual, they're like in a couple, in a throuple, like, who cares? Like, that's the difference, you know? Nobody yeah. judges us. It was like, oh my God, she's single, you know? Let's put her on the marketplace and then throw her stones, you know? But it's true. It's like this kind of like mentality that changed. And then yeah. the new generation, they really don't care.
Yeah.
I think they're accepting and loving.
Yeah. And I think what I love about the new generation and Gen or the millennials like us, we're a little bit selfish. And that's something I'm trying to work on changing for myself and other people. And I feel that the Gen Z, and I'd like to hear your thoughts over there in that part of the world, it seems they're more selfish for the collective. So they want the world to do well. Like, it's about being more politically correct. It's more about sustainability and exactly. climate change and building something, a world where like even the Black Lives Matter movement and the, you know, traction that's gaining. And I know it's been going for decades, but, you know, the positive movements and still challenging times there, but we're trying to move forward. And I feel that this new generation, the Gen Z and millennials and Gen Xers can play a big part still, you know, it's not over.
Of course.
But I feel that the Gen Z is really driving a lot of this and saying, hey, like, we don't want to live in this world. We want it to be better.
I think like you really opened the road for them, your generation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really started the fight. And then, so you actually made it easy for the Gen Z to take it over and continue.
I will take the credit then.
They don't have to fight that much as you did, because like you were like the pioneers to fight over that. Like, you know, like the feeling equal and then not judging anyone. And, you know, and like this new generation, they're following your steps in a softer way, let's say.
Yeah.
Because you did all the ground job work, basically.
It's a good point, because I've got a friend who works in a, you know, large corporation, and he's pretty high up now. And he talks about when he was, you know, starting out as a graduate, and they would do, you know, 15-hour days every day, and they weren't allowed to leave before the boss and all these things. And he talked about recently they got new graduates. This was probably a year ago. And, you know, the usual process would start, and they would say, right, you know, you got to do all these hours and make sure your work's done. And the graduates would leave at 5 o'clock or whatever it was. And he said, well, and this is pretty harsh, they would get rid of them and say, well, these guys can't cut it. They're not going to do the work. Anyway, get the new graduates in, same thing happens. And he's like, oh shit, well, yeah, they're just not going to do it. Like, they want their work-life balance, and we have to change. And so the organization had to change and develop more of a work-life balance. And it hasn't moved. I'm not saying that corporations have now moved to, oh, beautiful, everyone can work from home and it's all easy. But that shift is happening. And Gen, like you said, maybe Gen Y laid a bit of a path saying, hey, we don't give a fuck about all this extra work. But Gen Z, I feel, is coming in and saying, well, you know what? We just want something that is going to be sustainable. We want to enjoy ourselves. We're happy to work, but we're not dedicating our lives to it. And I think that's going to be a big part of this next step in our, you know, work industrial revolution, so to speak.
Yes. No, it makes it. I agree. I totally agree with you. You're so right. Mm. It's like this new generation is anyway more open-minded and like it's but yeah, I mean, yeah. I cannot add anything more than what you said because you express it so well. Oh, I will say the same thing in different words. It's not going to change anything. Like, you're so right. It's like, it's really that. And well, it's like, it's quite amazing. And I love to see the evolution, you know, between generations because, I mean, of course, I don't like to generalize, like everybody is different, like in each generation you can have different, but like as a general, you know, as a general thought, it's like, it's that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess for yourself, like, what do you think then those from Gen X or the millennials, what can we do, I guess, to like in the final few moments of the show, I want to talk about, actually forget about which generation you're from. What would you say to people about how they can improve their happiness? Like your quick tips, your little wins, what are some of those things people can do?
I think, I mean, first of all, I should be in your generation. I was born in the wrong generation because like I admire, of course, like we never like where we're at. No, I think the first thing is like, again, I said it at the beginning of the show and I will repeat it. If you want the long lasting happiness in your life, don't ever depend on something or someone. Find it in you. To be able to find it in you, you have to learn how to love and accept yourself. And it's not very easy. You're going to go through the process and you're going to see your flaws. You're going to see this. You're going to, you know, like your problems. But instead of ignoring them, learn to work with them. You know, see them, accept them, work around them. And then like love them, cherish them. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like, any flaw or anything that you see negative about yourself, you will see it as a quality.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Transform it.
It's who
and then
you are.
It will make you happy. And then you will like spread the positive energy around you. And life will be peachy.
Yeah, no, I love it. Day. I love it.
You know, it's like, it's really, really, really that. Actually, I have told you before we started, it's like, I'm like creating this like digital course for women to, and teach them how to be happy and give them the tools, how to go step by step to get there.
Yeah. And in terms of that, like we've talked on the show before about body image for women and men, but you know, from, I guess the person I talked with was a millennial from a Gen X point of view. What are some of those challenges with body image, particularly for women, and you know, what can they do about it? Because what do you think there?
I think like right now, first of all, it's like before we could kind of like blame social media, magazines and ads for that perfect picture, you know, body picture, but more and more there's like so much body positive image out there that it's like it's really the issue that we have with ourselves. And the problem is like we never see our qualities, we only see our flaws. And it's like those insecurities kind of like eat us from the inside like a virus and makes us like feel so bad that we don't irradiate. So who cares if you have a big nose? Who cares if you have some cellulite or like some curve? It's like, as I tell to my clients, like they're like, I'm a bit overweight. I'm like, so there's more of you to love. You know, like take everything in a positive way. You know what I mean? It's like some of them are like, I don't have enough boobs. I'm like, okay, so you can go out without a bra. Like, see the positive side of it. Stop like seeing all the negative. And I know that the body image is not as simple as that, but it's, you have to learn to love yourself, because like the minute that you will love yourself, who would dare to not love you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you hate yourself and your body, when you go out, you will send that energy, that negativity, and that like that lack of confidence, and then people will look at it. But if you go out being so confident and loving about yourself, nobody will see it. And we all have a friend who is a bit heavier than us, who has like more flaws than our physique.
Yeah.
But who has so much confidence, we don't even see it. Yeah. You agree, right?
Like, and
you
they're have, more like, attractive people. Because exactly. People are attracted to their personality.
Exactly. It's like, and it's like, so it's like, why can't you do that? Why do you have to like suffer and like be miserable and don't do, and you don't, you're not capable to do that.
Yeah, I love that. And for me, it's like, I just think, who cares really? Like, I'm going to be happy. And if someone thinks, you know, I look funny or whatever, well, that's fair enough. Like, maybe I do look funny. Like, sometimes turning it into, you know, kind of having a laugh at yourself is a good way, I find, as well, to kind of make light of it. And but thanks so much for sharing all those tips. It's been amazing. And I mean, one of the key takes for me is how you said that, you know, don't rely on anyone or anything to be happy. All you have to focus on is yourself and within. And look, we're all still guilty of that. I love all the nice things, but it's having that mindset where you actively try your best not to put your happiness on those things. Sure, we can enjoy life, but that's not where our true happiness and day-to-day positive energy is going to come from. So, yeah, any final thoughts on that, Nat, before we wrap it up?
I think you're an amazing example to see how you can come from like very down to very high. And then like, it's like really love yourself, accept yourself. And like, if you want to be happy, be it for yourself, not for a partner, for this, or like, if you have issues for your, even about your body, don't depend it on anyone. Like, it's, everything starts with you. Let's say that.
Yeah.
It's like really cool. Everything starts with you and the rest will follow. And as I say to my clients, it's like success, like anything. It's like, if you're happy with yourself, all the rest will come. I promise you.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Nat, thank you so much. I'll put all your socials and details in the show notes. So whoever wants to get in contact with you, you're very happy and positive, and I love the energy you bring. I can feel it all the way from Australia. So that's great. Woo,
we have a good connection.
And thanks so much for coming on the show, and look forward to chatting again soon. That was my chat with Natalie, the Bon Vivant girl. Really loved her positive, happy vibe. But one thing I was surprised to learn, and I also loved at the same time, was that she allowed herself to crash when she needed to. We can all learn from Nat, and I hope you really got something out of today's episode. Thanks for listening, and if you're on YouTube, thanks for watching.